So, Om Gnatimadanda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshur Miritam Yenatasmai Shigarve Namaha. So, welcome to part two of empathic communication, in which we, not teach, but facilitate everyone in understanding how to become Krishna conscious without chanting your rounds. without having to chant your rounds. Seriously. So this is an easy process of becoming Krishna conscious. And it's also a way to deal with your anger, lust, anger, greed, your husband and your wife. Oh, sorry about that. And also a way to dominate everybody you meet. No, it's not. But it is a way to become Krishna conscious without having to chant your rounds. Oh my God. And I'll explain that as we go along. So who here was here last year? Raise your hand if you're here last year. I guess the majority of people. So we're going to do a quick review and then we'll get on to some fun stuff. So we're here to have fun. Remember that. This is not your standard Hare Krishna, fall asleep, whatever program. It's a fun program. So, no, Krishna consciousness is fun if we are connected to our needs. So what we're going to do is review very quickly what empathic communication is. First of all, empathy is being connected with your needs and other people's needs, understanding people's needs and their feelings, and being able to communicate that. That's empathy. Empathy is not fixing someone or fixing yourself or torturing yourself. It is simply being aware of your needs. I don't know if we can see the need chart. Where's the need charts? Any of them around here? So, according to the philosophy, not only of the mundane psychologists, because we have not blooped from the Hare Krishna movement and taken shelter of mundane psychologists, but according to the philosophy presented by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and by mundane psychologists and intelligent people, is that we all have basic needs. Everybody has basic needs. And those needs begin with food, water, air, light, shelter. Because if you don't have those fulfilled, you're not going to move on to the higher needs. Especially you won't move on to Krishna consciousness. If you can't breathe, how can you chant your rounds? Actually, many people chant their rounds without breathing. that's why they get tired. It's called japa apnea. You understand? They go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare. So we need to breathe to hear the holy names, right? Those are the basic, like, fundamental physical needs. Everybody has them. And then you move higher and you get some higher needs, such as recreation and fun and autonomy. I'll explain what autonomy means. Autonomy means to make your own decisions. Like, many of you have children, and they go through this stage called the terrible twos. Anyone seen that? Raise your hand if you've seen the terrible twos. Yeah, practically everybody. Actually, I was just talking to the oxen yesterday, and I was asking him, how is this oxen doing? You know, he's working a particular oxen. He says he's going through his terrible twos. He understands everything I'm saying, he said, but he doesn't want to obey. So those terrible twos are actually good because they indicate the person or the oxen, if you happen to have a child who's as stubborn as an ox, they indicate that the person is developing his own sense of independence. It's good. Because without a sense of independence, making your own decisions in life, later on, you are going to be swayed by bad association. And we know in Krishna consciousness, good association is essential. But if you can't discriminate, or if you don't have what I call a moral compass or a spiritual compass, then you're not going to be able to make decisions on your own. You're going to still be calling mommy. Like, when I was first exposed to the Krishna consciousness movement, I didn't call mommy. Or else I wouldn't be here today. Because mommy told me, that's my mother, mommy told me, don't join, and if you join the Krishna conscious movement, I'm going to die. And for the next 2 years, she was dying. And now she's 92. So, as strange as it may seem, I have an Indian mother. She's Jewish, which is the same thing. Like they call, sometimes they call the Gujaratis the Indian Jews. Right? So because I was not controlled by my mother, I was able to make a mature decision in my life. So if we're always controlled by someone and don't respect someone else's independence, we will be keeping them from developing spiritually, materially, morally, and every other which way. Okay, so that's really important. So those are the basic, actually, I forgot about the most important basic need, which is self-realization, self-actualization, Krishna consciousness. That is the most important need, but you can't, that's at the peak of the triangle, but you can't get to there unless you fulfill those other needs. You'll be in denial about these other needs and projecting those other needs upon your Krishna consciousness. Projecting means you're going to be thinking you're Krishna conscious, like a sahaja, for example. What is a sahaja? A sahaja is someone who takes something very cheaply, and he thinks he can understand Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving affairs, right? Even though he's not on that level. Now, why is he thinking like that? Because he has all those same material needs, which are reflections of the spiritual needs or the spiritual relationship of Radha and Krishna, and he's thinking that those are spiritual, the material needs. So he's confusing them because he's not fulfilled. You know, his wife or his girlfriend ran away. So he's thinking that Radha and Krishna will fulfill that particular need. But it's better he gets married and then chants Hare Krishna at the same time. Anyway, that's the first thing. Everybody at all times is acting to fulfill those needs. Remember that. If you remember that, you can be empathic with other people. Understanding their strategy to fulfill the need may be horrible. Let me give you an example. Okay, here's one of my favorite examples. Who's the... Oh, my God, I better not give that example. Okay, anyway. Who is it? Forget it. I'm going to give it. So, who's the president of the United States? Forgive me if any of you are Republicans, right-wingers, or whatever. So, he tweets a lot, right? And he's very defensive. You know, anytime someone opposes him, you know, he gives them funny names, right? Am I right? And so, why do you think he does that? We can do two things. We can actually give him a label and just say he's mean, spirit, he's a demon, rascal, rakshasa, meat eater, malecha. What are the words? Anyone have any nice words? What?
Shudra.
Well, Shudra would be, that's a blessing if he's a Shudra. Shudra. Shudra means someone who's actually serving the higher caste. So he's an outcast, bungee, you know, whatever you want to call it. So you can do that. But that disconnects you from who he is or what his motivation is. I'm teaching you empathy right now. So let's go to the other direction. He has basic needs. Who has an idea of what basic need he's trying to fulfill? And there's not a need to be mean.
Respect.
Respect. He has a need for respect.
Acceptance.
Acceptance. Love. Recognition, acceptance.
Love.
Love. Anyone have that one?
Expression of oneself.
Expression of oneself. So he's... Why is he doing these things? Because of those basic needs. Now, and forgive me, his strategy stinks. But sorry, I mean, I'll talk to those of you who are Republicans after this seminar. But it's horrible strategy. But if I think he's trying to fulfill his needs, I can feel some empathy for him. Empathy doesn't mean I feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for myself. But empathy means that I understand whatever he is doing is doing to fulfill his needs. Very nice. And all right, let's go to the spiritual side. I mean, let's talk about Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was fulfilling his need to please his spiritual master, connect to Krishna. This is a very high need. Of course, one who is on that highest platform, then basically, if they're pure devotees, they don't have to worry about the other needs. That's true. Because you see the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Nijahara, they were giving up eating, they were giving up sleeping, right? They would eat maybe a pat of butter every 3 days or something like that, or every 2 days. Anybody here can do that. Can anyone here do that? Volunteers. You will go crazy if you do that. I remember one of my godbrothers, he tried to just eat oranges for 3 or 4 months, and he had some mental problems, actually. So you can't do that. So we have those basic needs. We're not talking about pure devotees here. We're talking about the rest of us down here on earth. So anyway, that's the need philosophy. And to understand, mostly we're gonna be doing exercises today. So this is just like introduction, you know, fun introduction for what we're doing. Actually, you notice I'm not sitting down, because I don't like sitting down while I'm giving the seminars, for several reasons. One is I like walking around looking at everybody, and secondly, when you get older, you don't want to sit down. Because you sit down, you may stay down. So I like to keep moving. So anyway, so the second part, actually, there's several other things I wanted to mention. There's need, philosophy, and then another thing is there are certain things that block communication, which, let me hold that up, or you can hold it up or something like that. Maybe. No, if you can hold up. That's Nanda Sutta. He's my assistant. He functions sometimes as a tripod, so. So there's certain things that block communication. One of them is diagnosis. And we just gave an example of what a diagnosis is with Donald Trump, isn't it? You say he's mean, he's a demon, he's this or that. When you give people a name, you just see them as that name. You don't see them as persons, as individuals, as spirit souls. I mean, there is a permanent diagnosis we can give people or name. They're eternal servants of Krishna. Jivera Svarupa Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. Other than that, we are not this body, women, or residents of wherever we're residents of. These are all temporary upadis, designations. And of course, we know that verse, Sarvapadi Vanir Muktam, Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. We have to somehow or other overcome these upadis. So when we see people, we should see, oh, there's part and parcel of Krishna. He's a servant of Krishna. He or she is a servant of Krishna. And other than that, when we give people a label, it disconnects us. Like, he is mean, he is a rascal. I'm sure we do this often, especially, you know, even in family relationships, you know, you're just an idiot, whatever. So, shouldn't do that. So the second one is denial of responsibility, in which we blame someone else or the situation for our shortcomings. For example, let's say we eat too much. Does anyone here eat too much? Okay. So we say, I'm eating too much because I can't control, that's an excuse. I can't control my tongue. Or I have this disease, so I eat too much. But actually, if we're eating more than is required, we take responsibility for it, that I'm eating more than is required because I'm trying to fulfill something, some other need. You become aware of the need that's connected with the activity rather than denying responsibility. And when you become aware of the need, let's say someone is, just give an example, eats too much that's not conducive for his health, because the person has a need for love. Because when they were young, their interactions with their parents were such that the mealtime or food was the time when they got love from their parents. So be aware of that. And once you're aware of that, you can actually make changes in your life, which is really great. And here's another one. Deserve. Like, I deserve to suffer. Or you deserve to suffer. This has to do very much to do with what we call justice.
You know, many times.
Whoops. Okay. Many times, let's say, if your parents dealing with children, you'll say to your child, "You deserve to what?" Anyone have an example? You deserve to be spanked. My mother used to say. I always use my mother in these seminars. But because she doesn't go on the internet, which is good. So my mother used to say, "You deserve to be spanked in such a way that you can't sit for a whole week." And she never caught me. So that disconnects us. There's two types of justice. You know, one is retributive justice, the other one is restorative justice. All these different terms are also mentioned in my book. And there's many copies of the book. I think we brought out 45 copies that are available. Just see Leela Shakti there as an advertisement. And she can arrange for you to get a copy of the book. So that disconnects us. And then the final disconnection thing is a demand. Okay, that's what I wanted to mention in regard to the rounds. I mentioned in the beginning of this whole thing that you can become Krishna conscious, or I'll teach you how to become Krishna conscious without having to chant your rounds. Now, the key word in that phrase is having to. Because if you have to chant your rounds and you have that in your consciousness, you're not likely to be chanting good rounds. Because that's energy that you're having to do, you're forced to do it. Like Prabhupada one time jokingly was holding his bead bag, and he moved down the last bead for the 16, and he said, "I finished 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing." I mean, how many of us think, "Oh, I can't wait until I get my rounds done"? Raise your hand. Be honest. Yeah, a lot of you. You know, I can't wait until they're done so I can get on. You know, my phone is just screaming to me. I got to check my Facebook page right now. We've experienced that. So many of us have that attitude, you know, because I have to chant. I do it just like, you know, I go to work every day. I have to cook for that husband, you ladies. You know, here's your food. And the husband's also thinking, right, you have to cook, your duty. And it, let's be honest, any of you ladies ever hear your husband say, your duty is to do such and such? Some of the ladies are scared, but most of them have heard that. So this demand, so it's not a good energy to have. I mean, I don't want to eat food that's cooked by someone who thinks they have to do it. It's their duty. Ooh, I hate that word, duty. I just hate it. I mean, obviously it's applicable in certain circumstances, but I want, if someone's going to cook for me, then I like someone to do it gladly, voluntarily. I choose to cook for you because I like it. That's why most of the time, guess who cooks for me? Me. Because I like it. Prabhupada said, if you cook for yourself, you'll like it and be healthy. So it's actually the attitude of the person who cooks changes the nature of the food. Matter is changed by consciousness. There's experiments like that. There was a Japanese experiment on water crystals. I'm not going to go through it, but people had different consciousness and the water crystals changed their shape according to the consciousness or the rice. There's another experiment about rice. So, it's the same thing with the japa. That if you're doing your japa because you're trying to get it done, well, it's better than not doing it, that's true, but it's not a good energy. So Krishna's thinking, Krishna's a person. The holy name is Krishna. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So what do you think Krishna's thinking when this person is chanting, just grinding out their rounds? What do you think Krishna's thinking? Krishna's thinking, phew. Let them stay in the material world for another 10,000 births. Let them get kicked a few more times by illusory energy. That's what Krishna's thinking. So instead, when you're chanting, I'm choosing, you just change the verbal expression. It makes a lot of difference. You choose. I am choosing to chant my rounds because and you've got to connect it with a need. I want to connect with Krishna. I want to please my spiritual master. I want to be happy. Right? I mean, we've experienced when we chant our rounds nicely, we're happy. And when we don't, we're agitated the rest of the day. So try to change that energy. So don't chant because you have to. Chant because you choose to. And everything, like Mangalarti or anything you do, consciousness, but anything you do, let's say if you're husband, wife, because we've got a lot of couples here, then you say, I'm choosing to cook for my husband because he gives me money. Oh, no. I'm choosing. Sorry about that one. I'm choosing to cook for my husband because I want to do this. And if you don't want to do it, you're in trouble. But you deserve to be punished. No, if you don't want to do it, then talk to him. I mean, people should have open, honest communication and say that I'm having some trouble. I would like to have the right attitude in cooking for you. However, let's talk about this back and forth. So you talk back and forth, you have a relationship. The more you have a loving relationship, the more you want to do it for the person. But loving relationship means communication, two-way communication. Loving relationship is not like, you gotta love me. Krishna doesn't say that in the Gita. He doesn't say to Arjuna, you gotta follow me. He says, you choose at the end. Loving relationship is always voluntary, and it involves communication, and it involves constant cultivation. Nobody can have a relationship that you just like establish it one day and 10 years later you think it's still there. Relationships have to be cultivated every day or as often as possible. And that means revealing the mind in Tadati Pratigranati Guyamakyati Prichati. This Shabshastra for you. Revealing the mind in competence and hearing and sharing like this. But that means you have to be ready to hear. God has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we should hear twice as often as we speak. And relationship is not the internet either. The internet, it's you, but it's mostly abused. And I've experienced this constantly, not in regard to myself. Recently, one of my disciples did something that was a little controversial. Yeah, this happens every day, actually. So, anyway, this individual, I'm not going to say was man, woman, I'm not going to give you any hints, because it could be any one of a number of thousands of people. So they did something a little, very controversial. And so, the posts on the internet in response to that particular information gradually became more and more and more negative. It's really interesting. You examine the internet because the communication on the internet is a non-verbal and non-body language. So it's the worst place for communicating anything deep. And so more and more, and finally I had to tell this individual, close down your Facebook page. And that sounds like a disaster. Oh no. How can I live without a Facebook page? What about my friends? What about life? Well, Shanti, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. You will be... And this person said, wow, I feel peaceful for the first time in so many years. I don't feel I have to respond to all these things. So, in other words, the problem is it's just simply the words. And we know communication is 92% body language and tone of voice. Only 8%, some people say less, the words. Like that. So there's definitely going to be problems. And the reason, let's get back to the needs, the reason that people were responding like that is because basically some of them had a need for understanding or for love or whatever. It was because of their needs they were actually becoming so negative on the internet. So I can appreciate that too. But the internet doesn't help us with a lot of our communication. So if you're going to communicate between your husband and wife or your children, don't text them. I've seen people at dinner tables texting each other. Please pass the salt. Get it yourself. It's not very conducive. All right. So those are the blocks of communication. And finally, just the system of communicating with people is... First of all, you observe something. Let me give a practical example. I got to do a demonstration. Nandasuta criticized me. Commit a mad elephant offense. All right, so.
Maharaj, you are just eating quinoas.
What'd you say?
You just eat quinoas. You don't eat anything.
That's not a, that's That's not appreciation. That's praying. That's praying. No, something. You rascal.
Okay, since you say it, I don't mean to say it, but so.
Since you say it, I don't mean to say
it. Okay, you're very smart. You're very smart? You think you're very smart?
Okay. No, Chris, what? Criticism.
You're being stupid.
What? You're stupid?
You're being stupid, yeah.
I'm being stupid, okay. Now, Nanda Sutra just said, I'm stupid. Okay. Translate that into English. So, okay. So I hear that. And so immediately, let's say if I want to respond in a non-empathic way, I'll say, what, you are stupid too.
I am.
So, empathy, this is a good example. Empathy in this particular case would, first of all, I'd have to deal with my own emotions. I'd have to observe what he said, just what he said, without any sort of judgment. That would be, Nanda Sutra said 5 minutes ago, or 2 minutes ago, that I was stupid. Okay. And how do I feel? Horrible. No, not really. But anyway, let's say it happened, I would feel horrible. And what need do I have? I have a need for appreciation, understanding, and respect. Okay, those are my needs in this particular case. So, what I will do is I will understand my interactions with him are not going to fulfill that need. Hasta la vista. No. They won't fulfill that need. So I don't have that expectation from him, that demand. See, many times we have demands from people that your business is to fulfill my needs. Especially when there's a couple of men and a wife, they're thinking, your business is to fulfill all of my needs. You know, that's the Bollywood understanding of marriage. Isn't it? It's just like, you know, we ride off into the sunset on the motorcycle, you know, chanting Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. So, or we dance our love dance in the Bombay railway station or something. Yeah, so, but it's not like that. You know, his business is not to fulfill my needs. I'm not demanding it, and I don't have any expectations. When you don't have expectations of someone, then you can have really good, loving relationships. And be thankful for what everyone does, when anyone does. So, anyway, so I've understood that. I feel peaceful now. Because, you know, it doesn't matter. I can fulfill my needs another way. Another way. I can just get a dog. And the dog. Why do people get dogs? Because they have a need for love. Actually, in my book, I explain that people who fulfill that need for love, either through their family relationships or dog or interactions with friends, live longer. There's actually statistics. They live longer. They tend to live longer and healthier lives. So, but that need's important. Okay, so I did that. So I went through this whole process, what we call observations, and it's on one of many of the charts here. Observations, feelings, my need, and then I make a strategy to fulfill my need. And then how do I respond to him? At least in my mind, I understood. When I heard him say that, he was agitated. And it depends on how agitated you are, Nanda Sutra, but it depends on how agitated, then I may try to guess his particular need, or I may just show empathy. Because he's suffering. If he's saying I'm stupid, it just shows that he's suffering. I may or may not be stupid, but that has nothing to do with it. It's just that he is suffering because he's angry. So then I can be empathic. I can see, you know, this poor guy is angry. And agitated. Disturbed. chant Hare Krishna. That will not work. Don't try that. You know, so if someone's angry, don't go up to them and say, have you chanted your rounds today? Did you get enough sleep last night? Did you have an argument with your wife this morning? That doesn't work. The whole idea is to be empathic with him either verbally or non-verbally. And in this way, you can sort of diffuse that particular interaction. So that's empathic communication in a nutshell. The process, and like read the book, read the summary. I think everybody has the one paper summary of what empathic communication is. Really easy. So now we're going to do some exercises. I think that that's best. Actually, it's already 11:20. So I want you to look. I'm demanding. No. If you're willing to do so, that's the opposite of demand. If you're willing to do so, we're going to do a 5-minute exercise. Turn to the person next to you. No? Yes? Try to turn. Are you willing? And for 5 minutes, just talk to the person. First of all, where are you from and why? What did you expect to get out of this seminar? 5 minutes, and then 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes for each person, then change. Okay. All right. Hari Bol. Okay. It's a little sharing exercise. And before we go on, I want to read a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur that sort of justifies what we're doing with needs. This is from the Bhakti Loka of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's from chapter 12, Sadhu Vritti. He says, there is a need. Unless one makes the gross and subtle bodies favorable for devotional service, one cannot engage in such. Very potent quote. There's a need for some arrangements, then he unpacks that. In order to attain a favorable situation in these two bodies, gross and subtle body, first, in order to maintain the gross body, there is a need to accumulate a house, maybe a tiny house, household items, grains, and drinks. For the prosperity of the subtle body, one needs proper knowledge and a proper occupation. In order to make the bodies, let me just look at this. Okay, that's good. In order to make the bodies completely favorable for devotional service, there's a need to situate them above the modes of nature due to the reactivity of whatever nature and desires a living entity develops is certainly a mixture of goodness, passion, and ignorance. By first enriching the mode of goodness, one should diminish and defeat passion and ignorance and make goodness prominent. When the mode of goodness is completely under the control of devotional service, then it becomes nirguna. By following this gradual process, one's body, mind, and environment become fit for devotional service. So in other words, the strategies that we pick... I gotta change the battery. The strategies that we pick should be conducive to devotional service in the sense of being in the mode of goodness. Does everyone understand that? Just give me a second for this. No, it's not going live. Here we go. So now we want to go ahead and do some more exercises to illustrate the different aspects of Krishna consciousness. I'm not Krishna consciousness. Of nonviolent communication. And let's pick... We were talking before about things you have to do, right? Like demands. I have to do this, you have to do that. And if you do things with that particular consciousness, then you're disconnected from that particular activity and the purpose of that particular activity. So we want to go again to your neighbor and talk about the two or three things. We'll do 10 minutes on this exercise. The two or three things you have to do, you really feel you have to do every day. You go back and forth. And then you should try to rephrase them in the sense of saying, I choose to do this. But not only I choose to do it, but because of a particular need. Now here's another need chart so you can see this whole hierarchy of needs. I think this is better exhibited here. You know, there's food, water, air, play, fun, recreation, interdependence, these are relationships we have with others, autonomy, making our own decisions, celebration, even of losses. That is, even if you're going to a funeral, you actually don't celebrate like an Irish wake or an Irish funeral where everyone gets drunk. Did you know that? That's what the Irish people do. That's not what I'm talking about. But you express your emotions. If you feel like crying, cry. There's no problem with that. We have that need. Even men should be ready to express their emotions. I remember when Srila Prabhupada passed away in 1977, I was in Los Angeles, and basically everybody was crying for 2 or 3 days. You know, and even myself. So I remember going to the Sundar Arati. You have to leave. He can stay if he wants. Actually, I was thinking if we had time, I don't know if we're going to have time for this, we can even do sessions with children, which would be really interesting. So children talking to their parents. You know, why their parents make them do things. So anyway, so there's a need to express our emotions, and I remember, you know, crying during the Sundar Arati after Srila Prabhupada passed away. And that's part of life. And then, of course, integrity, being ethical, all those other nice things, and ultimately Krishna conscious. So, alright, let's do this. Have to do exercise. So it has to be, have to do exercise. We have to connect, we don't have to, but we connect with a particular need. For example, I have to go to Mangal Arati. So how do I do that? I choose to go to Mangal Arati because I want to see the deities. You turn it into a celebration. I get to go to Mangal Arati. I'm fortunate to go to Mangal Arati. Then you wake up, the alarm rings, and you just jump out of bed. Nobody does that? You press the snooze button on the clock? Just 5 more minutes. But really, Krishna consciousness means Kevala Nandakanda, always blissful. So Mangal, I choose to go, Hari Bol Jai. That's how it should be. If you want to be Krishna conscious, that's how it should be. I'm sorry. I don't have another way. It has to be joyfully performed. Isn't it? What's that?
One cannot be joyfully sleeping.
Yes. Yes, you get joyfully in ignorance. That's actually what my brother told me. I said, do you want to hear about Krishna consciousness? And he said, no, look what it did to you. He said, ignorance is bliss. Don't spoil it for me. That's what you want. Good luck. And as we know, you can become a bear in your next life. A Kumbhakarna or a bear. You could sleep for, you know, 6 months out of the year. That would be nice. So if you want to be, I don't say you have to want to be Krishna conscious. That's your choice. I will not condemn you if you say, I just want to be materialist. One time a devotee went to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, I bless you to enjoy this material world. Actually, many times people come to me for that blessing. Yeah, they said, can you bless me to be successful in business? Okay, bless. We'll be charging for those blessings later. Anyway. I have one friend that when I used to go to Govardhan, he lived in Delhi, and he would come with me on Parikrama every time. He said, Mars, I got to go with you on Parikrama. I said, what do you want? He said, I'm praying to be able to migrate. Praying to make a lot of money. So even when I got tired from Govardhan Parikrama, he was going around like 1,000 miles an hour. I couldn't stop him, you know. Because But he was connected. At least he knew what he wanted. I'm not saying that's the way it should be, but, you know, at least he was honest with me. Most devotees will say, I just want to be a pure devotee, Maharaj. And I'm thinking, no, you don't. You know, we're very dishonest with ourselves, right? That we think we're more advanced than we actually are. We think we're something that we're not. And so it just means being honest. I mean, I like being honest. It's, you know, I could just say, you know, I'm a materialistic rascal. So what? I don't care what people think about me. My own needs by chanting Hare Krishna. So getting on with the exercise. Connect whatever you're doing, going to Mangalarti, or whatever you have to do, change the language and change it in terms of a need, a basic need. And it's not one of your basic needs to suffer or make other people suffer or be mean. It's not a basic need to be mean. And okay, we'll get on to the needs in a second. So let's do this exercise for, how about 10 minutes? 5 minutes for each person, and then you turn around and do the other person. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. You can turn it off during the exercise. Stop it from filming and turn it off. Yeah. Good to see you again.
Nice to see you.
How are you doing? What? Thank you. Okay. Okay. How do you go? Is everyone finished? Start telling me. Hare Krishna. Hare, Hare, Hare. Okay. You know why shushing makes people quiet? Does anyone know? Why? What's that? No, because, yes, you're used to it, but the reason it makes you quiet because that's the sound we heard when we were inside our mother's womb. That's a natural sound. In any culture, that works. Shh. It's very soothing. Okay, of course we don't want to take birth again. So, does anyone want to share how you felt when your demand was transformed into a choose to? When you had to was transformed into a choose to. Anyone want to share? Yes.
Relief.
Would you be willing to explain what your had to became was before?
Sure, there weren't anything super revelatory. One of them was that I feel that I have to chant my 16 rounds a day because my spiritual master expects me to. But by changing it to I want to chant my 16 rounds every day because it pleases him, then it felt like there wasn't so much of an obligation and it was more I was entering into it because of my own volition. So.
Yeah.
So once the sense of expectation was taken out of it, then it became more proactive and I felt more engaged and conscious in the process.
More voluntary, and your need for autonomy was met, and there was a different energy. Mm. There's a different energy from chanting arounds. You know, Hare Krishna instead of Hare Krishna. Very good. Thank you. So anyone else want to share how their energy was transformed? No one else? Had energy trans? Yes. Microphone.
It's I have to go to work.
You have to go to work.
Yeah, and I choose to go to work because I need my independence. I need to be able to have my own place. I mean, I have certain needs that could be accomplished only if I go to work.
Good.
So that's choice. It's not I have to.
Yeah, you're making a choice. You have to go. You choose to go to work because this way you get your needs met. You know, physical air. You know, your own place. So you don't have to stay with 1,001 other people in a Hare Krishna temple. I mean, that's really why I chose to take sannyas, so I wouldn't have to live at 10 other. And also another reason is I got a lot of mahaprasadam. So I chose to take sannyas. Yes. Back there.
Mine was like a classical one. Why we have to work so hard to be alone? And it stems out of like, you know, because sometimes I have to work when people are participating in different activities. So
how did you choose to do it?
So, I mean, mine was like, you know, physical, I work from home. So basic, we started from physical need and play and fun aspect is very important for me.
Mm.
And my current situation always keep these things eluded. And then the highest goal is Krishna consciousness. So in this ladder,
very nice.
I have to move up, as only God's grace can move me up.
Very good. Anyone else want to choose or explain? Yes. Why they choose to do something they previously had to do.
So when I think and when I look back, why did I go for Krishna consciousness? I feel there is no other choice. When I look at the material side, look at my friends who are still on the end, and the way they are suffering, I don't want to suffer like those. And I had gone through that suffering, so I have seen that. So I have basically no other choice. So when I think about it, it makes me happy that I am on the right path, and I get excited. So it makes me more go towards more and more Krishna consciousness.
Good. So you chose to be Krishna conscious because it makes you happy. And basically you don't want to be unhappy.
And there is no other choice. That's what I see.
Well, you could... There's always a choice. In every circumstance, we always have a choice.
No, the only other choice is the material side, which I have seen it.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. It's the best choice. But let me give you an example that I often give. That people say, well, what if someone puts a gun to your head and says, give me your money. Do you have a choice? No, yes. Yes. What is your choice? Die or give the money. So you can gladly give someone your money then. Because you're thinking, I'm choosing to live. Take my... One time I was walking in Fiji, and a Gunda came up to me, and he said, give me your money. And I said, all I have is my beads. And I had to give him my beads. He later became a disciple. No. One day. So, anyone else want to share that particular exercise? Yes. Back there. Right there.
Yeah. Every day I feel I have to cook for the family. But I can say I choose to cook. It's very tough, but I'm trying hard.
Who are you cooking for?
For my family.
So what
because
is
because I am not cooking for Krishna. So that is why it is happening.
Because you love your family, right?
Yeah.
I choose to cook because I love my family. I want them to be happy. Yeah. Very good. Very good. There's no other ones. Yeah, we have a few more. Yeah.
I have to. Can you help me reframe that?
Okay. The question was, she thinks that she has to make her children Krishna conscious. Those poor children. Wake up. You have to be Krishna conscious. I have one disciple whose mother had to make him Krishna conscious. When he was 5 years old, she woke him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning, to do Didi Puja. Now he can't wake up until 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's like PTSD, and he's like, he's 45 years old with PTSD. You know, the things that happen to us when we're young, we don't understand how much it affects a little kid. I mean, for example, when I was young, my mother made me eat beets. And now, finally, after 70 years, I'm able to eat them again. It took 10 years of therapy, intense therapy. not really, it's a joke. So, you have to make your children Krishna conscious. So, that
energy,
I'm not saying you do that, but that energy may have the opposite effect with the children. I'm choosing to give my, because they do have that need for autonomy. Anything you're forced to do when you're young, and I use the example of beets, anything you used to do when you're forced to do when you're young, you probably don't want to do it anymore. I'll give you another example of my own life. When I was young, my mother used to, always used my mother, but anyway, forgive me. So my mother used to make me make my bed. And she was like an army sergeant that if I didn't make it right, she would tear off the sheets and throw them on the ground. Now I... Brother Damodar ki jai. Now I have a hard... Of course, when I was at Nandasuta's house, I made my bed. Because I was afraid of getting chastised by Braja Bhakti if I didn't make my bed. But... So there, and also I had to put my clothes in a hamper, and now I just throw them on the ground. And we have like submissive disciples to clean clothes. That's another reason for taking sannyas. So everyone has free will. So you're choosing to bring your children to Krishna consciousness, but it's their choice, really, because Krishna chose to try to bring his children to Krishna consciousness, but one of them turned out to be an absolute demon. That was Vanasura. And Krishna had to kill his own son. Terrible. Advaitacharya chose to bring his children to Krishna consciousness, but he had six of them. And three of them chose to be non-devotees. We let them see what Krishna consciousness is. It's very blissful, and if it's not blissful, I'm going to beat you. But, you know, if you really choose for them to be Krishna conscious, you want them to be Krishna conscious, you have to show an ideal example of being very happy and blissful with Krishna consciousness. And the children will see every aspect of your life as reflecting your Krishna consciousness. In other words, if they see that you and your husband are having arguments, they'll connect it with Krishna consciousness. It's true. They'll say, if this is what devotees do, or if they go to the temple and see that, because example is more important than precept. So every aspect of your life, your children will observe with a microscope. And they will take that as indicating what Krishna consciousness is or what Krishna consciousness isn't. So, of course, that feels like really traumatic. At 24/7, I'm under a microscope. But, you know, you choose. Like in my position, you know, I choose, you know, I'm under a microscope too in my particular life. So I'm choosing because this makes me happy and I want others to have a good example. So I'm choosing to sort of try to be Krishna conscious at least a few hours out of the day. So, is that all right? Choosing. I'm choosing to try to bring my children to Krishna consciousness because I want the best for them. And that is a basic need. For children, we want the best for our children. We want the children to be happy. Thank you for raising that point. That's really important with children. Not to tell them that they have to do things, but rather to let them choose to chant or not chant. If you don't want to chant, it's all right with me. If you do want to chant, not that Now every year, I've seen parents do that, like every year you get older you got to chant one more round. Anyone ever do that with their children? No. And they have to be inspired. Krishna consciousness is inspiration. Usually people are inspired in Krishna consciousness because of a role model. Usually it's, you know, maybe a guru, maybe a sannyasi, maybe another devotee, temple president, or maybe the parents themselves. So what inspired me in Krishna consciousness was Prabhupada. Because when I, otherwise, I mean, living in a temple with 30 other brahmacharis didn't inspire me. Cutting my hair off. Cutting my hair off didn't inspire me. Waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning didn't inspire me. But when I saw a Prabhupada role model, I said, I want to be like that. He is my inspiration. He is my exemplar. So that's really why I'm doing, no, seriously, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. Because of Prabhupada, my connection with Prabhupada. Thank you. So anyone else want to share? Nandasutta. No, no. I have a need for my children to be Krishna conscious, which is a perfect need. But I understand that there's a strategy to do that. So you have to connect the needs with a productive strategy.
But the needs are for us, and we also understand children's need too.
That's right. They have a need to be Krishna conscious too. Everybody has a need to be Krishna conscious. Even Ravana. Even Ravana had a need. He didn't need one. That's why the business of a leader, guru, parent, is to facilitate, you know, you often use that word, facilitate the Krishna consciousness of someone. You bring out the need. There's an interesting word used in Greek philosophy, which Socrates used in his arguments. It's called the maieutic method. Has anyone heard that word before? Maieutic. Maieutic, the word maieutic means, in Greek, it means midwife. Now a midwife assists or facilitates a lady in giving birth. A midwife doesn't give birth. You know, that would be crazy. So, you know, so she facilitates the person going through a natural process. So what is the natural process to be Krishna conscious? So that may mean that in helping someone be Krishna conscious, you ask someone, let's say, you know, I ask Nandasutta, you know, what's important for you in life?
Being happy.
Being happy, okay. So, what have you tried so far?
Got married.
That's it. Is Braja Bhakti here? I'm never going to be invited over your house again after this. See, but you know, I understand it to fill the basic needs. But it just does it make you happy 24 hours a day? Braja Bhakti, does it make you happy 24 hours a day? Do you want to be happy 24 hours a day? Okay. So we have this process, you know, you try chanting Hare Krishna, give up meat, fish, and eggs, no one, don't smoke marijuana anymore. Not to sleep. And you see. And you see a role model. I mean, who do you want to be like when you grow up?
I'd like to be like you or my grandmother.
All right, so he'd like to be like his guru Maharaj, not like me. You'd be in trouble if you're like me. So he'd like to be like his guru Maharaj. So here's the way. Here's the process. You can choose. It's your choice. You can be like Donald Trump or you can be like your guru Maharaj. So that's, joking aside, that's facilitation. And the other thing, the opposite would be, you got to be Krishna conscious, Nanda. So you, why don't you get up early? Why don't you chant your rounds nicely? You know, what are you doing eating all that boga? I saw you the other day, you know, eating a bagel. You bought a carmi bagel. It's true. So, you know, that doesn't work. It's just going to make him think, you know, I got autonomy. I can make my own choices in life. Marge, you know, cool it. Well, he wouldn't say cool it. He would say, don't invite him over again. Because, you know, if you accuse people, like, if you accuse people of eating too much, if you accuse people of being in Maya, it has the opposite effect. You know, I've had experience that when I've told devotees you got to eat less, they eat more. So remember, there's autonomy. But you have people understand what's good for them, what they want in terms of their own, not what you think for them. It's called facilitation. And with children, it takes time. You got to sit down with them. You got to talk to them and find out their needs. You can't just start bossing them around. So, anyone else before we do this interesting exercise? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. One of the difficult areas for me is I have to wake up early in the morning. So I choose to wake up early in the morning because it gives me the strength to have a strong morning program, which would facilitate me to have the better remainder of the day. And I also choose to wake up in the morning because I want to be healthy as well.
Okay, good. He chooses because he wants to be healthy. Very good. So if there's no other... Yes. See, we're having fun. Back there. Microphone. Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I choose to become vegan because no living creature suffers because of me.
So he chooses to become a vegan,
yeah,
or vegan, because compassion, he doesn't want to harm compassion. Okay. I also am vegan for the same reason. Very good. But you don't go to people and say, you're not compassionate because you're not vegan. I tried it. It doesn't work. You let people make up their own choices. I mean, maybe you want to explain to people what goes on at the slaughterhouse or what goes on in the commercial dairies. And then they make their own choice. If someone wants to be like that, that's their choice. That's their choice. Remember, everyone has free will. Any other questions? Or... Okay. Now I want to do a brief survey. This is an interesting survey which we actually just did at Nandasutra's house. Is that we want to find out from each of you, we're going to do a count, name count. Maybe someone can count real quickly. You can count real quickly? Okay, so of which need, I'm going to go through all seven, and which need is most important to you at this particular time. Remember, this particular time, which need is most important to you? And honesty is very important. I mean, of course, if you're all say Krishna consciousness, then I'll have a problem. Because we did one, I won't tell you what the results were, but it didn't come out Krishna consciousness. And that's not bad, because that indicates what need right now is not fulfilled, what need you have to work on. Because each and every need should be fulfilled to reach the pinnacle of Krishna consciousness. So we're going to go through one by one. You probably have to stand up to count. So, who here considers their most important needs? And it may be, you may be sick. You may be
overtired.
You may be in distress, physical distress. So it's not a bad thing to consider the most important need to you right now. Remember that. It's not saying that you're less. Because I'll give you an example. I was at Govardhan recently, and I had a terrible toothache. I mean, it was really painful. And so I was basically a comfortable situation, relief from pain. I mean, it's honest. I wasn't thinking about Krishna. Well, I was. I actually prayed to Govardhan. I prayed to Govardhan, please take away the toothache. I mean, one has to be honest. You may say, well, that's just material, that's Maya and everything like that. Well, Hare Krishna. Too bad. Yet, it worked. What happened is I prayed to Krishna, please take away this toothache. I can't do anything for you. I want to serve you, but this toothache is driving me crazy. So then I walked over to someone's house and I said, I have a toothache. And, you know, 5 minutes after I prayed to Krishna, try this. So I walked over to someone's house and I said, I have a toothache. I can't think clearly. And the person said, here's a clove. So I chewed on the clove and the toothache was gone. It hasn't come back. And I haven't seen a dentist. Forgive me if some of you are dentists here. So that's an example of where my most important need right then was physical. And I'm sure we've all experienced it. I mean, last year we were here and it was too hot. That's not an observation, that was my opinion, but anyway. It was warm. And so, for many people, their most important need was comfort. So don't think that you're going to be criticized for having your most important need anything else other than Krishna consciousness. So let's go through, start with the basic needs. Whose most important need right now is physical? Maybe because you don't have shelter, you don't have a house, you don't have security because you're in debt. So raise your hand if your most important need is physical at this point. One, two, three. How many? 18. This is good. Thank you for your honesty. Raise your hand if your most important need right now is play, fun, recreation. You didn't count me. How many? 23. Raise your hand if your most important need is interdependence. Let me explain. Appreciation, closeness, community, love, reassurance, respect, support, trust, understanding, and warmth. More than that. About 70 people. 70 people. Okay, well, I thought I gave it, the whole list is up there on the board. It's physical, play, fun, recreation, interdependence, autonomy, celebration, integrity, and Krishna consciousness. But this is all right. I mean, even if it's what strikes you, basically. Even if you pick two, no problem. Because we're showing pretty much the same results we got before. So raise your hand if your most important need is autonomy, making your own decisions, not being told what to do by someone else. Wow.
About
16 people. Look like more to me. All right, 18. So, raise your hand if your most important need is celebration. Like either mourn or celebrate, you know, I just really want to celebrate something. Five. Raise your hand if your most important need right now at this moment, as we're sitting here, is integrity. You know, just being truthful, honest, ethical. What that, it doesn't really. Self-worth, meaning in life. We have a lot of people. Wow. That's good. I'm proud of you. 35. And honesty. Raise your hand if your most important need right now, at this minute, as we're sitting here, is to be Krishna conscious. Wait a second.
Less than the
astronomy. What? How many? Raise your hand. Most important need of all the needs.
Less than the astronomy.
What?
Consciousness, like, we got about 70 people in
the... Yeah, it's less.
So half than that.
Okay, about 35. Okay, so here's our totals. Physical need 18, play, fun, recreation 23, interdependence 70, autonomy, celebration 5, integrity 35, Krishna consciousness 35. So, just looking at this, if we're going to try to understand, whoops, I hope I'm recording this. Yeah. If we're going to try to understand how to attract people to Krishna consciousness, what do you think we need to do? I think we need to have more open, loving relationships with the devotees. And that's exactly what Srila Prabhupada said, incidentally, in the Nectar of Instruction. Famous verse, Tadati Pratigranati Guyam Akyati Prichati Bhunte Bhujate Jaiva. That the devotees engage in loving exchanges, giving gifts, accepting gifts, revealing the mind in confidence, hearing from others, and giving prasadam, and also accepting prasadam too. So, these loving exchanges, Prabhupada said in his purport, this is how our movement increases. In other words, communication between devotees, which is exactly what we're talking about. This is why I concentrated on this particular subject matter, empathic communication, because it will help our movement become more stable, attract more people. Because when you're talking to people and you say, join the movement and be happy, and they come to the temple and everyone's miserable. Be happy like me. Sleep during Bhagavatam class, you know. You know, then how do you expect to attract people? People are arguing with each other. We have to have, we don't have to, but if we want to have our movement progress, we have to have these relationships, these loving relationships between each other. And loving relationships means empathy, understanding each other, communication, like this. And there will always be differences of opinion. There's nothing wrong with differences of opinion. Conflict is good. If you ever take a course in conflict resolution, you'll find out that conflict is natural good, it's part of life, but it's how you deal with it that determines whether it's productive or not productive. So on that happy note, we have till 12:30, so I just want to take some questions. And this is the only session we have today, unfortunately. Tomorrow we have two sessions. And I understand that other devotees are going to be talking, like Ramapad Maharaj will be talking about empathic communication. And I think Nanda Sutras, no, you're not going to be doing anything. Nityananda Prabhu from Chicago is going to be doing some sessions like that. So I may be observing some of those sessions to see how they're going. And, all right, well, let me give an assignment. So, groups of five or six between you. Turn around in a second, not just now. And each group come up with a play for tomorrow in one... an assignment. This is not fun. I came here to be entertained. Okay, so... if you are willing, or I'll kill you, if you are willing, come up with, it's sort of just like a role play, what, one of the blocks of communication. Give me the blocks if you don't mind. Like what it means, and it, you all have that on your sheets, I assume. The blocks of communication are here, diagnosis, denial, deserve, and demand. Just a role play of one of them. If some of you want to do it. Yes? Okay. The question was denial. She didn't get the meaning of denial. Denial means basically not to take responsibility. Yeah, to not take responsibility for your own feelings, needs, and actions. For example, I am angry because you asked me that question. Not really. But that's denial. You know, otherwise, if I take responsibility, I am angry because I'm hungry. I need food. That's taking responsibility. But if I blame you or blame the circumstances, then that is denial of responsibility. Like someone who takes drugs or addicted to drugs would say, I'm taking drugs because I'm a drug addict. Or I'm depressed because I have depression. You know, we have to, in the modern world, the psychological world, people generally have excuses for why they do things or think things or feel things. So denial means to not deny means to take responsibility. I'll take responsibility for my own needs and for whatever situation I'm in. Does that make sense? It's like, you made me angry. You didn't make me angry. You can't make me angry. I chose to be angry. And the reason I chose is because I have a need, like I maybe a need for food, I have a need for rest. It's my responsibility. That's what denial is. So any of you who want to form groups will go through that tomorrow and exhibit or display one of the deeds of communication. I feel it's really important to understand these, because when we do this, do these, any one of these four things, or all four simultaneously. It's kind of hard. When we do any of these things, we're really disconnecting from ourselves. I mean, if I can do a diagnosis on myself and say, I'm a rascal. Let's say I wasn't happy with the way I did the presentation today. I would say, you were stupid today. You know, you do that to yourself. How many times, like you say to yourself, boy, you're really stupid. Or you're really useless. Or you're really hopeless. And so that's putting a label, it's a judgment, it's a diagnosis. And that disconnects you from yourself. Because empathy is not only connecting with others, but connecting with yourself. That's first. You cannot connect with others until you come in touch with your own feelings and needs. And I think we have to end now, right? We have to. Because... Yeah, we have a, there's a schedule, and we've chosen to adhere to the schedule rather than just to be here all day long. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Vijay.
So, please remain seated. Two quick announcements. If you would like to pay...
The book is available.
Yeah, sure. Maharaja's books are in the table close to the Prabhupada's altar. So please stop by and check out the books. And if you are interested and inspired, please buy one. And then if you would like to sponsor or contribute some money towards Gita Nagari, please see Satyasara Prabhu at the registration table or ask for him.
What?
And if he's not available there, just leave your name with Shyamasaki in the table so that Satyasara Prabhu can get back to you. And then another request, so when we are leaving or entering the temple building or any other building in the premises, please close the door after you have entered or exited, because otherwise the peacocks come in and... So just keep that in mind, like there are some doors are just are left lying open, so please close it after you enter or exit. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
And please write down any questions you have for our next session. I'll be happy to answer them. Sorry we didn't get a chance to answer too many questions.